What's up, guys? Welcome to the sesh. Today I got a special guest. Alex, introduce yourself, man.
What's up, guys? My name is Alex Velasco. I'm the co-founder and CEO of Fork to Fit Kitchen.
How old are you?
I'm 32.
32, and I could say that you are relatively successful. Is that true?
Define success.
Well, you define it for me then. What does success mean to you?
I think we've progressed in our mission and what we're trying to do.
Okay. So, okay. Yeah. That's how you see it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool. It's not the Lambos and the...
No.
I will tell you this. In my older age at 41 right now, I view my life different than I would assume you do. And I'm going to ask you in a little bit how you view life as at your age. So from 41 to hopefully one day I get to live as old as my grandpa, which is 93, still alive, still does exercise, still active.
Beautiful.
If I am allowed to live that long, from 41 to 93 is not a very fucking long time. So I feel like I've wasted a lot of my life trying to catch up, and now I'm barely catching up and acquiring the skills that I need to become successful.
Yeah.
So what is it about a 33-year-old that you got that earlier?
Yeah.
Like how did you get that?
Actually, it's 32. I'm about to be 33 this month, though. Okay. I mean, wait, July? Are we in July? Yeah, I get lost.
It's June.
Yeah, so I guess I see it in a way where I don't think you've wasted that much time, right? I think if anything, you gained all this experience and knowledge to like just start your life, right? And I think 41's super young.
Yeah, I do too.
I think 32 is super young.
But there is a mindset difference between a 33 or 32 year old and a 41 year old. So when I turned about 35, I was like, fuck, man, I got shit to do. Like, I got to do it fast.
Yeah.
And then I sat on the couch for about 3 years listening to Les Brown motivational speeches before I figured, like, fuck, dude, I got to get up and actually do something, because listening to this motivation is not enough.
Yeah.
So what was it about you? How did you get through that plateau?
Yeah, it's that spark of motivation, right? I think it always starts with something. Like for me, it was a breakup, and it was like the typical breakup where you're like in love, you think you're in love, and then
that was the fuel that pushed it.
Well, it wasn't that. It just triggered like, hey, what am I doing? Not hey, what am I doing wrong? I would say more of like, what can I do better so I never feel like that again?
Okay,
right, and then I started analyzing my life and realizing all that I hadn't done yet. And you have to kind of, once you see it that way, I think it sparks some type of motivation in the person. So like for me, it was like, okay, well, I'm gonna get fit. I've never worked out. I've never really tapped into the gym. I'm 21 years old.
So you've been lifting since you're 21?
Right.
Okay.
Right. 21 years old, let me get into the gym. Let me get my physical body better.
Was that to boost your confidence, or what was it about it? Is that the breakup that you fueled that? You're like, you know what, fuck this, let me get into shape.
No, it was just seeing, okay, what do I find, I guess, successful at 21, right?
Okay.
And what I defined successful was like a grown ass man who looks sharp, like a Chad, what they say nowadays, right? That has it all put together and kind of can make the moves that he wants to make.
Okay.
And
that was your goal.
Yeah, I defined that man in my head, and that's the man that I tried to be. So going to the gym, being super disciplined, repetition after repetition, learning how to eat clean, understanding nutrition, understanding like all those things, I guess, helped my spark of motivation to be where I'm at today.
I got you. Okay. So what is it about this discipline that people won't do? Because I stumbled upon it when I was 40. My trainer came in, we did a podcast with him. And at that time, I was weighing 250. This was about a year and 3 months ago.
Wow.
And he came on, and me and my partner were like, well, let's go see if he'll train us. And I was like, fuck that, dude. I'm too busy. I don't want to do anything. And then we jumped into it. And ever since then, I haven't missed a week of doing that. So it's just the hard grinding work that I got down to 186. and now I'm bulking phase. So I learned a bunch of the process, but what is it about the discipline that most people won't do it?
I think it's seeing progress. I think not many people fight enough to see progress, and that's where they lose that motivation.
Well, let's give them some realistic goals, yeah. Because if I knew it was going to take me 6 fucking months to start seeing results, like that would have been like, okay, I'm going to throw these 6 months. Well, not throw them away. Learn the technique to be able to progress from the 6 months on.
Right.
Because that's really where all the work happens. Yeah. So what can you help? Like give a realistic goal to somebody that's starting today or has started so they stop. Like stop complaining about, just do it.
Yeah, I would say give yourself, nobody likes a crash diet, right? And I don't like a crash diet because I think it takes a while to break bad habits, right? And a lot of people have bad habits in nutrition and not exercising and moving their body daily. So I think it's creating those good habits, right? So, but I do recommend seeing progression really fast. I think that's going to help you.
Like the biggest motivator.
Yeah. Stay motivated and then, discipline, right?
Yeah.
Because that motivation is going to push you for so long, but so many people are going to see this progression happen and they're going to stay now disciplined instead of motivated. Okay. So, I think seeing progress as soon as possible is the best way to trigger your mind to stay disciplined in the gym. I would say, I guess to answer your question, I would say give yourself a good 90 days.
90 days.
Right. And really push those 90 days and try not to miss a day and really have at it. And whether you get with a nutrition coach or a physical trainer, you should be doing both, though, like nutrition and physically. Give yourself 90 days. Once you break that, like I feel like you're going to have the discipline to keep going.
No, I think you're absolutely right, because I started counting calories, and calories is such a tedious fucking thing to do. But I just got used to it eventually, and now I see what goes into my body. And I've been able to change diets along the way just because I knew exactly what I was eating. So can you kind of touch on nutrition? Because that's kind of where you specialize, right?
Yeah, well, I'll touch on nutrition, but... I guess, what would you like to know about nutrition?
So the food, specifically mm-hmm. the food. And I've been, correct me if I'm wrong, if you want to lose weight, you eat less. Mm-hmm. Am I wrong?
Well, yeah, the less energy consumption,
So where's the healthy level here? So I guess what I'm trying to do is, if I were to say something on social media right now,
right.
If I say, if you want to lose weight, eat less. And then people get triggered because you can eat a lot and you can still lose weight. So what I'm trying to say is how am I politically correct?
Okay. So we always have to kind of be careful with what we say nowadays, but, and I think that's a lack of confidence in today's society.
Okay.
And that's a huge issue for me. So that's what,
so kind of dig into that, explain to that.
Yeah. I'll go into that just, after I answer your question, but I would say that the calories, your calories intake should be based off of your body composition. And let me just put it into simple terms. If you weigh, let's just say you weigh 150 pounds, mm-hmm. try to take in 150 grams of protein or I would even say, let's not even break it down into protein, carbs, and fats, but let's break it down into a calorie. Let's just say you're 150, a man, 150, you're trying to gain about 30, 40 pounds of muscle. Mm-hmm. Or just you want to look physically fit and you want to gain, muscle. Start yourself off at a calorie. So I would say maybe 2,200 and do that for 5 days and see how much did you fluctuate in your weight? Did you go down? Did you go up? And then, you kind of gauge it from there. So, I'm going down in weight. So let me, have a calorie surplus which let me just add some more calories to my 2,200 calories. Now I'm going to go 2,500 calories in the next 5 days, see how my weight fluctuates.
And they need to do that for like a while, right? Because sometimes it's the weight of the water weight, right?
Yeah, yeah, okay. yeah. Because everyone's different. And scientifically, you can put an algorithm behind it and you could say, oh, you should be taking in 2,100 calories.
Yeah.
But everyone's different. Your body reacts differently to
and
every...
And that's the hard part, dude. Yeah, that's why it's hard to stay disciplined because even though you go to the gym every fucking week, you still have to do progressive overload to grow.
Yeah.
So you always lift heavier weight. You still have to go. It's going to be harder. It's going to be heavier. Mm-hmm. So I get why people get disillusioned.
Yeah, it pushes back.
Yeah. But I will say that there's nothing better than a 41-year-old man that has some muscle mass now, because I can take care of myself. I feel physically fit. I feel able, which is the important part. And I feel like a lot of men don't have that.
Yeah.
Is that something you see?
Yeah. I could tell when I've met you, you're a pretty confident individual.
Yeah. And I only got that through that.
Right. Oh, you got it through that. Right?
Well, yeah, I was already confident in the beginning, but seeing now results that signify, all right, actually what you're doing is working. It's like, it's another thing. Like, all right, this works. Let me do more of it. Right. I feel physically fit. I feel great. I have energy.
Right.
Why wouldn't I do it more?
Right.
It's only beneficial for me.
Yeah.
So that's the way I'm seeing it now.
Yeah. Because people, you might be super confident mindset wise. Right. Mm-hmm. But the way people perceive you, you're kind of not as confident, and you want to show off what you're really made of in the inside, right? Yeah. But you also know that a book is always judged by its cover.
Absolutely.
Right? So I think that you understand that perception-wise, people are going to perceive me. They're not going to see the real me. So how can I show them the real me so I can make that impression on that individual, right?
Right.
So
exactly.
So now that you're physically fit and at 41 years old, not only do you have that mindset confidence, but you have that knowledge that people will perceive you as a confident individual.
Right. And is that a bad thing?
I mean, I think it's a bad thing if you live in a society of people who aren't confident.
Okay. Which is, there's a huge correlation between that, because there's a big divide.
Right.
So I would say this is where the haters come in.
Right. That's where people start saying, hey, haterade, drinking the haterade. you're going to get haters for sure.
But I would say business, it is 100% beneficial for any person to be physically fit, to be mentally sharp, to be fast, to be able to do things that most people can't.
Yep.
Am I wrong?
No. I think a healthy body equals a healthy mind, and vice versa. So
cool, man. Yeah, I still always like to pick people's brains, because I feel like anybody. I used to think that anybody could become an entrepreneur, and I used to feel that anybody can get a 6-pack abs.
Yeah.
It's just not the truth. It takes hard work, dedication, and a long term consistent. It's literally consistency that will make you win the long term.
Yeah.
Can you kind of touch on that? Especially like Fork to Fit. Like,
yeah.
How many locations do you have?
We have 5 locations. We're building out our 6th one right now.
So you're pretty consistent.
We're pretty consistent.
So talk about that
specifically. Yeah, we opened up in 2018, our first store, and now we're at 5 stores. We're building out our 6th one, and we should have 10 here in the Rio Grande Valley by the end of first quarter.
That's pretty aggressive growth, man.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
Yeah, I think it's necessary.
Yeah. So let's touch on that then, because I ran into an article last year. Jesse James West's video was, we live in the fattest city in the nation.
Yeah.
So the United States, McAllen, Texas, and surrounding cities is the most obese in the nation.
Yeah, I mean, you could look at it egoly, right, and say, like, I'm saying ego-wise, and you can say, well, that's not, that's pretty shameful, right? But you can also look at it as a kind of opportunity to kind of revolutionize the way people eat here in the Valley. Mm-hmm. And that's what Fork to Fit's doing. That's what we're really about, what we're really trying to push. And that's why we're being pretty aggressive here in the Rio Grande Valley, because we want to prove ourselves that we can change that. And as soon as we prove that, I think people will understand that we have great knowledge in what we're trying to do with our business concept and what we're really trying to do for the nation. But we got to start here in the Rio Grande Valley. I mean, I was born and raised here, and we were known as the fattest city in America, the most obese city in America.
So you know about that statistic for a while, because I heard it like 2 years ago.
No, I heard that statistic back in 2015.
Wow.
That's when I was personal training pretty heavily. Had quite a bit of clients, and I kind of got to understand their mindset and their daily livelihoods, and understand how I could try to change that. I was personal training. I was making great money. Going to college, I was a server at Cheddar's, and I was personal training. But I always felt like, okay, I can go finish my biology degree and go to dental school and change teeth, or I can continue doing what I love, which is personal training and kind of molding individuals to greater confident individuals. Mm-hmm. So I kind of understood that I said, what could I do to change more people's lives in a bigger light, right?
Had you always been that way?
I've always been that way.
So you've been service-based?
Oh, always. Always.
Where did you get that from?
I don't know. I think it's my parents. I mean, it's in my DNA for sure. My grandpa was a great entrepreneur. And I say a great entrepreneur because the guy worked till he was 93 when we had to take away his license.
Wow.
He died at 99, but I saw that man work every single day till the day he couldn't anymore.
Yeah.
And that was amazing to me. So
is that a bad thing that people focus so much on work? Because I want to ask you about like life work balance.
Mm-hmm.
Like how does that look in your life? Because I feel for every entrepreneur, like that does not exist. Like your business is your baby, and it's you have to manage it all the time.
Yeah, work life balance. Every time I hear that, I'm kind of just rebounds off my brain.
Yeah,
yeah.
It doesn't exist.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Okay. Yeah, I figured, man, because like I get a lot of heat sometimes because I work a lot, but I'm trying to grow something that's bigger than myself, because I found now that I have a purpose. Like I have a goal in mind, and I feel like Parkinson's law. I always talk about this. If you give a date to a project, a goal, and you hit it, that's Parkinson's law. It will happen within that a lot of time.
Yeah.
And I live my life that way by making these goals, and I have goals till I'm 100 years old. So I don't think I'll die till I'm 100 until I finish these goals. That's the way I kind of see life, is like you have these plans, you're going to hit them, and you're going to hit them until you stop making goals. And I feel like a lot of people won't make goals. What is it about that? Why won't they make goals? Is it stupid? Do they think it's foo-foo?
I mean, they might think it's foo-foo, right? I love that word, man. foo-foo. So I do think that, like for me, I mean, I started off with a motivation and some motivation, and then I created goals for myself, and then I found my purpose, and that was like serving, right? Serving others, like before me.
How did you come to that? What was it that triggered you? Was it a series of things?
I think it was. I think it's always been just a constant thought in my head. I didn't do well in school. I always wanted to do I wanted to just really see what impact I could make in the world and how. And just sitting in school, that's all I ever thought about. I was like, how am I going to do this? But it was always in a positive manner, right? Because my parents are such good people. They're still married to this day. They showed me all love and caring for others that are just strangers. So I think that's kind of what, sparked that.
Yeah.
So I've always just thought like that. So I didn't do too well in school. I was always thinking about different things. But I did go to college just to give that degree to my parents, right?
Well, I feel like entrepreneurship is one of the hardest things that anybody will ever do, because I find myself sitting in this office alone a lot, mm-hmm. thinking, working, mm-hmm. and doing the tedious things that I have to do over and over and over and over mm-hmm. again that people won't do.
Right.
So I feel like...
your goals, right? Like you're saying, like, why don't people...
Yeah, why won't people write their goals down and then say, I'm going to do this?
Yeah. So going back to your question, I mean, I always want to emphasize on like my past so you can understand my mindset a little bit more, right?
Okay.
But to set goals, like for me, like I said, was, okay, let me make these little goals and then it's just finding your purpose. But for I guess viewers out there that want to hear some type of like, what's going to help me complete a goal? What's going to it's just motivation. Like, honestly, at the end of the day.
One time motivation will run out.
Yeah. What was that?
One time motivation will run out. Like, you can only have enough motivation. So there has to be that something that triggers you. Like, all right, let me jump and fucking do it.
Yeah. So...
like, what is it for you? Like, why are you so aggressive at growing your business?
it may sound redundant, but it's really figuring out what you're wanting to do with your life. Like, what is your purpose here on this life? Like, what, I mean, everyone just wants to live the ordinary life. Most people do, right?
So you're not satisfied.
I'm just not satisfied with just living in...
an ordinary life. And there's nothing that...
I wouldn't say... I guess the majority of how people live.
Right.
Right?
Yeah. Which isn't a bad thing.
And I don't want to say ordinary because I'm not judging whatsoever.
Yeah.
But what I want to make clear is just like... I think it's either you're going to live a... I think actually, I mean, you can live an...
extraordinary
life, yeah. Right? And you can just find a new purpose in this world. Like, what is it that you're trying to do? I mean, I think just why we're here is to serve people and to be there for one another, yeah. Right? And leave your legacy and make an impact in the world in a positive way, yeah. Right? So what are you going to do to help that happen, right, for you in this life? And if you never find that, I feel terribly sad for you, because it's like you didn't live the potential you were supposed to.
You could have lived, yeah.
In this life.
Yeah.
And I think that's what sparks my motivation every single day. Yeah, I want to revolutionize the way people eat, but I want to do so much more here.
Yeah.
Like, I want to do so much more than just, like, revolutionize the way people eat throughout the nation and the world. So so you can hear behind my words that there's a lot of motivation.
Exactly, yeah. Right? So you have a purpose.
Yeah.
Yeah, and yeah. I would venture to say that most people don't have a purpose, and it's very hard to find that, especially when you're going through hard times and every single day. Like, for example... 10 to 12 million businesses will close this year in the United States. It's a staggering number.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I always talk about marketing. Marketing is one of my specialties in advertising. And you just recently moved your team to a new location, right?
Yeah, our marketing team.
So talk about that, because I find that fascinating. You no longer have them in-house at the Fork to Fit locations. You have an actual location for your marketing team. So you obviously have to assume that marketing to you is one of the most important things for your brand.
Yeah, yeah.
Touch on that.
Yeah. Yeah. So we have our, yeah, we just recently moved our marketing office to a bank tower. So that way everybody can have an awesome view because that's really cool to walk into office and have an awesome view, right? I have a marketing team of 5 people. And I think marketing is huge for any business. I think marketing is what made Fort to Fit what it is today. And it helped us, continue our mission. But I think marketing is huge for any business. And I do see here in the Valley that a lot of people don't understand that, that you have to share your story. You have to share your business. You have to share what you're trying to do for the people here. So with that being said, marketing is what's going to change your, what's going to share your story and what you're trying to do as a business, whether it's cleaning windows so that everybody can never look at a window that's dirty again. Right. Like, okay, well, how can you showcase that to somebody, letting them know, like, you'll never have a dirty window again? Well, you have to create some type of marketing content so that way people can understand what you're doing, so they understand it clearly, and then they want to purchase that service from you. So, yeah.
So kind of like, yeah, dive into what you all are doing. Like, give us examples. Like, what could a business do right now, a business owner, let's just say any industry,
yeah,
what could they do on social media? Like, this is the strategy you can implement today to get new customers in the door.
Yeah, I think it's put your service and your purpose on what you're trying to do for customers through social media. And social media is, I think, we live in a very physical realm right now, but I do think digital realm is coming, right, with AI and all technology that's advancing pretty quickly. I think you have to be known digitally. And that's, I think what you could do to spark that type of, more purchases of your service. I think, posting content on social media every day, I mean, just like Fort to Fit, we did it from the start in 2018. I knew that everyone was going digital, eventually. And I said, how can I get my brand in front of many eyes with as little dollar as possible?
Yeah.
And that was like social media and Instagram. And I knew everybody was like, get on Facebook, spend money on Facebook, 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 Facebook. Yeah. And I'm like, man, you guys don't see the future.
Yeah.
And I mean, well, I would say that because I'm just like, why is everyone telling me to do something that I'm not going to do? First and foremost, I'm going to go and advertise on Instagram, and I'm going to grow my brand on Instagram because I know everybody on Instagram, were the younger crowd, right? And eventually the older crowd will follow the young crowd.
Absolutely.
And so you say, okay, well, am I spending time on Facebook or Instagram? Duh. Yeah. Instagram, right? So let me go and attack Instagram with all of my content, all of my branding, what we're trying to do for people, and let them know who I am or who the brand is. Right. Right. So I put a lot of content on Instagram. I would do it myself, when we first started, and I would get people to share our stories on Instagram and have those people share stories and give a free coffee if you come in, this day, like to have a huge marketing push. Mm-hmm. It was all Instagram. And I spent like maybe like $200 a month. Damn. Like at most, because no one was doing Instagram advertising in 2018 here.
Yeah.
I mean, they were, but it was so easy to get in front of people's,
yeah,
eyes.
Yeah, so many people, man.
with so little dollar back then.
Yeah.
In 2018, 5 years ago. So we did that, and that's how we became a thing, and people loved Fork to Fit, and the products and the packaging, the perception that people experience when they touch our product, when they smell our product, when they eat our product. That's all marketing, right?
Yeah.
And
absolutely.
So yeah, I think every company should have a dedicated marketing team or work with somebody who does marketing for you and can help share your story better and to more eyes for as little dollar as possible.
Let's dive into actual team. So I would feel like a business owner just thinks of marketing and it's just one thing, the post that goes on. Mm-hmm. So kind of touch on what your team does. Like, who are the people there? What do they do? So they can kind of get an overall picture. Like, it's just not one thing that's going out.
Yeah.
Like, there's strategy. There's content behind it. There's people that are taking pictures, video. Yeah. Kind of touch on that.
Yeah. I mean, well,
like, who do you have right now on your content team?
Yeah. So I think that, I guess to answer your question, I have Christian, who's a photographer. He was one of my Shakeologists when I first started Fork to Fit. We called all the barback people Shakeologists, okay. Like Starbucks has barista. We called them Shakeologists because they would be making a bunch of shakes eventually. We knew that that was going to happen, and now we sell a bunch of shakes. And Christian was one of my Shakeologists, moved his way up to marketing because I saw the kid drawing I shouldn't say the kid. He's like my brother, dude. I trained this guy when he was 15 years old.
Wow.
And when I was personal training, and I'm 25 at that time.
Yeah.
I've known him. Yeah. For quite a while, but he was always drawing in the bar back, like drawing just stuff. And I was like, this guy has a creative mind. Yeah. And he needs to be in design or marketing. So let me throw him in there. And he's now our photographer, and he's become really, 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 really good at it.
Nice.
I'm super impressed. Hard worker, curious mind, keeps learning. I have Alyssa Luna, who is my marketing director. She actually interviewed me for a UTRGV class, a marketing class.
Oh, nice.
And she sparked attention for me. So I reached out to her and I said, she has a go-getter mind. I like her style. Let me get her in here. And she's helped. She was actually like my right-hand man, woman. When I was doing social media marketing on Instagram, and now she understands my mindset completely and the vision that we have for Fork. I make it transparent, very clear to everybody always. She now leads the team of marketing, for individuals. And we have others like Andy, who is amazing at design work. So she does like a bunch of, putting things together, right? Mm-hmm. Like photography.
She pieces all the stuff together.
Yeah. Pieces it, everything together and puts it, ready to go, so that way we have
your content ready.
We have a social media manager as well. We have those type of people in the marketing team. So there's photography, videography, there's putting content together, there's
the
social
fulfillment
media
part.
The fulfillment part, social media management, like and then we have that whole marketing team working on community events, like creating we're now teaming up with one of a yoga house here. Mm-hmm. And we're going to be doing like a Fork to Fit event. And what we're trying to do with that is have events for the community and kind of help them with motivation, mm-hmm. right? And
goes along with your goals.
Right. So that's what we're trying to spark now.
Yeah.
There's so much that goes into marketing. That's just like maybe
the tip,
20%.
Yeah. That's
like
crazy.
If that, right?
Yeah.
But there's just so much more, right? And there's like, let's look at packaging. How can we make it prettier? Let's look at design inside the store. How can we make that better? Like, how can we make the experience better, more fulfilling to the customer when they walk into a store? Their comfortability, like all of that, right?
Yeah.
So design, posters and formative posters, all the design work you see inside a Fort to Fit kitchen store. Like yeah. you just, there's design work on the TVs, ads, ads meaning like, what's coming up, to Fort to Fit or what do we have on promo now?
Yeah.
Things like that.
There's a lot of things to manage.
So much.
So let me ask you this. Yeah. How do you, as the leader, mm-hmm. how do you manage those expectations?
Well, I think early on, you kind of have to understand that not everybody is going to do it how you envision in your head, right? And you can have those expectations and do it yourself forever and never get anywhere. So you have to kind of drop your expectations.
Even your ego at the same time, right? Because I'm assuming you as a man, fit mm-hmm. as fuck, mm-hmm. are very confident in the way in the way you do things. So you're obviously, you have done stuff that got you successful. So mm-hmm. you give the baton to the next person, like, fuck, they're not doing it. Like, what did you have to change in your mindset to be able to let that ego go?
Yeah, I think that that's something that a lot of people have in business, and that's why they fail, is their ego. I think as soon as you drop that ego, you have to have some ego, right?
Absolutely.
You have to have some ego, but you need to drop it with your team members. You still have to have it, but you have to drop it with your team members and your expectations and like letting them, understanding that human being is not going to understand your mind. Mm-hmm. Like, so you have to make it transparent. You have to communicate that to them. So it's on you at the end of the day. Like, you're just hurting your own ego because you're the guy, yeah. you're the guy not communicating the vision.
Right.
Right. So, if they're not doing something to like my expectations, it's because of me. It's because I'm not communicating to them what I envision in my head.
And I feel like a lot of people don't really understand that, because I had to really understand that there's a lot of people out there that are way fucking better than me that can do my job way better. Mm-hmm. But what I like to do is I focus on the growth of the business.
Yeah.
And that's pretty much the same boat you were in, correct?
Yeah.
Yeah, and I feel like that's a different position than what people are used to, because there's different levels even in entrepreneurship. It's like, we're overseeing a team. Well, now you need leadership skills. You need to be able to communicate well. You need to be able to manage expectations. Like, all these other things that you hit at a different level.
Yeah.
And most people just are like, I don't know what the fuck to do. So they just stay stuck.
Yeah.
And that's where I find the power of mentors to be very important for me, is like, I consume so much content now on business growth and all this stuff from Alex Hormozi and all these people that I aspire to. And their number one thing is leadership. Like, you have to have the culture of the group that you're going to be with. Because if I hire on people, I want people to think like me, to have the same goals as me. So I think managing those expectations are the perfect way to start that business growth on the right foot. 100%. And you can even do it with a very small team.
Yeah.
Especially with AI now. Have you messed around with it?
Yeah. I'm very big on AI. I love all that it can help people do, or humanity do. There is that little bit of like scarcity, right? Like, where like, you're like kind of but if, overall, I think if it's managed well, if humans manage it well, I think it's going to do a lot of good for humanity and also for our future. Yeah. It opens up our imagination a little bit more.
Absolutely does. And it 10x's your productivity, man. It's just insane.
100%.
Like, yeah. I feel like a lot of people, when I talk about that, they're like, well, I don't get it. And I even made a guide on how to use ChatGPT with prompts. And I'm pushing it. I feel like I always am too preachy. Like, when I lost a lot of weight, I felt fucking great. So I wanted to preach it to everybody, and nobody likes that shit. So I was like, you know what? Let me try a different way. So I came from an educational and informational type of thing, because I'm not entertaining at all. So I have to educate people.
You're pretty entertaining. You're keeping me entertained.
Well, thank you. I just keep the conversation going. But I feel like AI is one of those things that, like, fuck, dude, if you don't jump on it, your competition is going to use it and they're going to blow you out of the water.
Yeah.
Is that how you see this stuff too?
Yeah. I try not to look at competition or think about competition. But I think that AI can help a business excel, or your vision excel, faster, by helping communicate your vision on paper, transcribing it. I think AI does a good job in doing that. Like for me to put a sentence together is really hard.
Same here, man. I'm in the same fucking boat as you, bro. Like, I know what's in here, but I don't know how to put it correctly on.
Well, even to speak it in this mic right now, right? But I know that AI can help me make that clear. So give it a prompt and let it know your mind in jibber jabber, right? Yeah. Like
you can misspell words.
You can misspell words. You can put words that are not supposed to be there.
Yeah.
And it can understand what you're trying to say.
A lot of people think that's cheating. I feel like it's a tool that you're using to be able to productivity for one.
But that's just ego, man, right? Yeah. Oh, you're cheating. Drop the ego.
Yeah.
Like
somebody's going to use it.
Yeah. Like, oh, you can't write a sentence on your own? No.
Yeah.
I want it to write a sentence for me. Yeah. Like, what's wrong with that?
Dude, I'm one of the worst spellers because I'll leave out like words on my fucking post and I'll go back after people have commented and I'm like, fuck, dude, I'm such an idiot.
Yeah.
But I find that...
It's not going to make people stupid.
Right.
Like, it's not going to make you stupid. If anything, it's going to make you more knowledgeable because it's going to give you more information.
Oh, dude, the research capabilities on that thing. I started ChatGPT in January 14th and I consumed it for 3 months for 2 to 3 hours every single day just so I can learn it. Yeah. And now it's just a part of my morning routine, the daily routine.
Like, I used it last night at 2 a.m. writing an email.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think people really
understand. I actually drafted up my new operations guide for the new concept we're about to launch in our 6th location.
That's amazing, man, because I don't think people really understand the power of this, but there's also a learning curve because the prompts are what make it work.
Yeah. Yeah. So think about that, right? I was able to draft up a whole operations guide for a new concept in our business in less than 2 hours in detail and specifics. Like,
it's mind blowing, man.
And I did it in less than 2 hours. So I was able to communicate what I envisioned for that concept on paper. And I shot it in an email at 2 a.m. to my director of operations, Nick. And he's probably reading it this morning saying, what does this nerd fucking want? Right? But Nick's a nerd too. Like, dude, we have such a good relationship. Man, our work relationship is so amazing. But the guy I can call him or text him at 2 a.m.
He'll answer.
And he'll answer. And it might be a stupid thought like, hey, what do you think about this? Or like, hey, this and that. And he'll counter, or not counter, but like have a response for me. It's awesome. Anyways, going back to AI, I think it's a good, useful tool. I have my marketing team using AI. I knew about AI, I started exploring it. And in November 17, 2021, was it when ChatGPT released?
One of the first versions. Yeah, it was early on.
As soon as, I think, or was it this year?
No, it was last year.
It was last year. Okay, so in November, they released it. I said, the world has literally changed.
Yeah.
And I said that loud and clear so everyone could understand what's about to happen. And no one really understood that. So I said, okay, well, I'm going to keep using this and I'm going to keep moving forward really fast. And we have a whole 10 to 20 year vision ready to go.
That's like, awesome, man.
Yeah.
So just for the business owners that are listening, since that's my primary audience, like, how are you using ChatGPT?
I use it for emails. I use it to draft up operations, to draft up guidelines, to draft up policies. A lot of HR stuff, a lot of creative stuff, like things I'm curious about. I learn about it really quickly with ChatGPT, really, really quickly. Yeah. It's scary quickly, which is why I can't put a fucking sentence together because that, sorry, I didn't know if I could curse.
No, absolutely.
My bad.
I've been cussing the whole time.
Okay. I can't put a sentence together because I have so much data in my brain. That
thought leaves too damn fast, man.
It's just, anyway. So, I use it for a lot of things as a businessman, and it's helping my business excel in many, many ways.
And I would also say that it helps with managing the expectations of your, crew.
Yeah, exactly. Because the communication's there now. It's clearer. It's more transparent. But yeah, I think any businessman that's listening, I think drop the fucking ego and start talking to your team like you would want to be talked to. They don't know what's in your brain, so understand that you need it, it's on you if they don't meet your expectations.
Yeah, well, cool, man.
Yeah.
So before we finish off the podcast, give a piece of advice that you have learned within your 32 and a half, with business and then in life. Like, what is this one thing, like, you're at the end of your life, what do you want to leave behind? What is that saying that can help somebody?
Find a way to serve many people in a positive manner, and life will mold as you foresee it. So
you are interested in the power of words. The power of words have the power to change your life. Mm-hmm. I 100% believe in that. Do you?
Yeah, 100%.
All right, guys, we'll see you next time on the sesh. Later.
Thank you.